You are holy. Are you Lord God, God Almighty, your holy Lord. Dis vir ons 'n voorreg om in tye soos die vrymoedigheid te kan hê om U so te kan aanbid in waarheid en in gees. Daar is nie 'n lewendige God soos U, ons hemelse Vader, nie 'n vreemde wese iewerste daar buite of daarbo, ons hemelse Vader. U kies dan in om in ons te kom woon, ons liggame, die tempel van die Heilige Gees. Hier's geen mens vanoggend wat woorde met mekaar kan deel, Here, om 'n verskil te maak in ons lewens behalwe die teenwoordigheid van die Heilige Gees, Jesus Christus. Ons verhef U in hierdie atmosfeer vanoggend, in hierdie gebou, in ons harte. Hierdie gaan nie oor 'n preek wat iemand het om te lewer nie. Hierdie gaan oor elke woord wat die Heilige Gees het om in ons harte en in ons lewens te uiter. Ons is aanvanklik vanoggend, ons wil verander, ons wil die naam groot maak. As ons vanoggend hier uitstap, wil ons anders wees. Ons bid saam met Jesus vanoggend waar hy sê, U koninkryk kom, laat die perfekte wil geskied word op aarde. In ons midde, in die hier en in die nou, in die middel van die storm. Ons bid nie dat die storms moet tot einde kom nie, Here. Ons bid dat ons U ontdek en kry in die middel van ons storms. Dat ons sien, ons God, ons Heer, ons Redder, is die een wat op water loop en hy sê vir ons, kom, kom, kom. Laat in sy naam ons die onmoontlike kan bereik in sy naam. Dis ons verwagting vir oggend, Here. As ons kyk na die woord, dis ons verwagting. Heilige Gees, werk met elke individu, elke persoon. Help ons om die uitdagings van die week, van die verlede, een kant te sit. Dit wat miskien, wat ons moet oorkom morgenoggend, laat ons dit net, haal dit dan net weg van ons gedagtes vir 'n paar oomblikke. In hier en hier nou, fokus ons oë, ons hart, op Jesus Christus. En ons dankie daarvoor. In Jesus' naam. Amen. High five some people around you this morning. Make them feel welcome in the presence of the Lord. To our first time visitors, we trust that you feel right at home and that somebody has made you feel welcome and comfortable in the presence of God this morning. As jy gekom het met die verwagting dat 'n dominee, 'n reverend, 'n predikant, 'n pastoor 'n awesome preek gaan lewer, jy gaan bitter teleurgesteld wees, regtig waar. Maar as jy 'n verwagting in jou hart het dat die skepper van die heelal met my gaan gesels vanoggend, then God's going to meet you at your point of need. As jy kom met daai verwagting, gaan jy net sê, "Jong, daai ou het direk met my gepraat vanoggend. Hoe het hy geweet?" Wel, ek weet nie, God weet. Hallelujah. Congratulations are in order. Well, some people were sitting on their couches in front of the TV, maybe with a warm cup of Milo or something, om weg te skel van die reën, because I know it rains sometimes. Some people were racing dirt bikes. See, nobody get excited. I get it. It's like the crucifixion. Unless you were there, you will not really know what it's all about. So, To Owen, they got a second place yesterday. I think Owen's at the children's church, isn't it? Congratulations to Owen, they got a second place in the off-road race. And to Kobus, they got a first place. Well done, but dit wil gedoen word. Congratulations, we're glad that you guys are safe and with us again this morning. I trust that everybody had an incredible resurrection. I don't know, lekker om jou weer te sien, broer. Jy kan hom nie eintlik mis nie. He's like a next level youngster. I trust that you all had an incredible resurrection weekend, last weekend. Ons het nie gebank nie, we had our national rally, for those of you that just showed that it's not about the speaker, but it's about the Lord, and you faithfully attended. Yeah, thank you, God bless you, to making Jean and Anita just feel right at home here. So thank you for your faithfulness in attending. I know, ek weet, julle kom nie kerk toe om enige iemand te impress nie. Julle kom kerk toe because you love the Lord, en jy geniet die samesyn van gelowiges. Amen. We're going to continue our series on Revelation. And please don't give me an answer that you think I want to hear. Just be truthful with me. Are you gaining something from Revelation, or is it all like spaced out stuff? Can you see how relevant it can be to our everyday life? Can you see that it's not about these weird abstract things? It's about Jesus and about the goodness of God, how we can apply it to our lives. I can pray that you continue just to have an open mind and be receptive and see what is God going to teach me through this series. So believe it or not, we're on the 11th installment already. And we're only on chapter 7 and 8. So I'm not going to rush through this. I want God to do what God wants to do in our hearts through the sermon series. Is that okay with you this morning, family? So just to recap, last week we looked at the four horsemen from chapter 6, the significance of their colors, and the interesting fact of how many Islamic countries have those colors of the horsemen in their flag. It's interesting, isn't it? So this week we're going to discuss chapter 7 and maybe see if time allows we can get into chapter 8. So, and at the end of the service, again, as what we've committed to do, the Lord has laid on our hearts as our HBT and as a congregation to pray for the upcoming elections week in and week out. And we're going to give you an opportunity to do that as well, to pray and stand in the gap and just trust God to do a miracle for this upcoming elections on the 29th of May. And then that reminder is going to come up from time to time about the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem. It's a fulfillment of a biblical command for the Church of Jesus Christ to stand with and to support Israel in these difficult times. Okay, are you ready to receive this morning, church? So take the pages of your mind and open them up and say, Lord, speak to me this morning. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 to 17. We're going to read it through so that the word of God is proclaimed and sent forth into the atmosphere to establish the authority of God in this place. And then we're going to unpack a few verses. So follow along with me on the screen or on your Bible, in your Bibles, on your Bibles, wherever you're reading the word of God. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. And then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. And it mentions all those tribes. All right? Drop down with me to verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Can you imagine the sight, eh? And crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the angels and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. And so he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Everybody say, praise the Lord. We thank God that we have His Word at our disposal this morning. Right, one of the things we're going to unpack. How many of you have heard of flat earthers that believe that the earth is flat? Well, interesting. The Bible actually doesn't say much about that, so I just want to leave that. However, they say, well, you see, the Bible speaks about the four corners of the earth. That means there's corners of it. Well, I want to tell you this much, that this was an ancient idiom that means to the furthest extent of every part of the earth. That is what it means. Okay. But I promise you that if you believe that the earth is flat, you probably won't go to hell because of that. Okay. So you can relax. Regardless of whether you think it's round or whatever its shape is or it's flat, that's not the point. The point is that this refers to the furthest parts of the earth. Okay. And then it speaks about, Dennis, is dit die tyd al reeds dat julle begin jukkelstukkel? Okay. Time flies when you're having fun. Okay. Then it speaks about the seal of the living God. This refers to the name of God. So this is what was placed on their foreheads, the name of God on their foreheads. Then it speaks about the servants of our God. There's much, I say discrepancy or willful confusion, but much has been said. Let's just say that. Much has been said about who these 144,000 people are. Folks, the most balanced way to interpret Scripture is the following. Are you ready for this? First, understand what is written in the Bible as literal. And if there's metaphoric language, try and find out what is the literal implication of it for our lives. Does that make sense? Don't look for imagery and meaning in places where there isn't meant to be any imagery or any meaning. When the Bible says these 144,000 were taken from the 12 tribes of Israel, what are we to believe? Where are we to believe they come from? Do you see any hidden interpretation there or any clandestine meaning? It says they're taken from the 12 tribes of Israel. The most balanced and healthy way to interpret Scripture is everything is literal. And if there's some metaphoric language, so when I say to you, sure, that thing that I bought, it cost me an arm and a leg. What she says. Do you get it? Don't look for a meaning in everything when there isn't stuff. That's where you reveal. Why do we say 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15? It says, "Rightly divide the word of truth," and it goes on to say, "Study to show yourself approved, etc." But rightly divide the word of truth. So this is what it says. It says they're taken from the 12 tribes of Israel. That is where they come from. The servants of our God, 144,000 Jews, and guess what they become? Don't you think God has got an incredible sense of humor? God's got a sense of humor. I mean, look at my face. God is funny. I mean, I lose hair here and here, but yet it grows out of my ears and my nostrils. I think who you are, that's funny. That is funny. By the way, I'm not losing hair, I'm gaining face. God is funny. He sends a Pharisee, Paul, to minister to who? The Gentiles. And he says a Gentile, like Peter, to minister to the Jews. That's how God works. And yeah, he chooses in this time of the history of mankind, he gets Jews to become what? Evangelists. What? Jews. Jews that are left behind. They're not fulfilled messianic Jews who get raptured. They're Jews who realize this Jesus who the Christians spoke about, that the Bible speaks about, is actually the Messiah. These are ones that are left behind. Not only them, but in the tribulation. And they become messengers of God. They become evangelists for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Imagine that. Folks, this period that describes in Scripture, it's going to be an incredible period in the millennium because the 1,000 years of reign, we're going to reign and rule with God before the devil is brought out of the of the abyss again and then thrown back in forever. There's going to be raptured Christians. Then there's going to be martyred Christians. And then there's going to be these fulfilled, these Jews who get born. It's going to be incredible. Never before in the history of mankind has there been that combination of people. You know? So it's going to be raptured Christians. It's going to be martyred Christians, Christians who passed on before the rapture. That group of Christians, the people that we read about in the Bible, it's going to be us that are raptured. It's going to be tribulation saints with these Jews. It's going to be an incredible time, an incredible time. So God uses these servants to become his evangelists at the time. Jewish evangelists. What an incredible thing. Then it says, they sealed on their foreheads. Now, what's interesting about this is that it's not unique to this portion of the Bible. We see this occurs in Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse 4. There we see a consistency throughout the scriptures where God does things that are familiar to us. So it's not unique. They sealed in their foreheads with the name of God. You say, why and how? Folks, as much as we, and I'm not Radavar, ek is nie a kenner aangaande hierdie goed nie. But I tap into the resources of the wisest men of God that we know today. And I learn from what they have learned. People that have been studying the scriptures for more years than I've been alive. I will tend to listen to what these men have to say. Can you say amen? Amen. So that's what we see taking place here in the scriptures. Then it says, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands. Now, what's significant about this is the following. These people get saved through martyrdom. They lost out on the rapture because they left behind. Okay? They raptured. At this stage of the scripture, the church of Jesus Christ is raptured. These people left behind and they get saved through martyrdom. What does it say to us about God's heart? God's heart is for people to be saved from wrath. Even at this late stage of the passing of time, God's heart is for people to be saved. God's heart is for people to be saved. Prophet after prophet after prophet, before the advent of Jesus Christ, the first coming of Jesus Christ, what was God's heart for the people to be saved? He sent them warnings. He sent them angels. His Holy Spirit, before there was widespread outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all flesh, like we can experience today, selected individuals had a mighty anointing come upon them for specific reasons, all with this view of God in mind, to save the lost, to save the lost, to save the lost. At this late stage, folks, we see there's judgments being poured out on earth now. This is the end. This is it. And God is still concern about people being saved. Remember when we started at chapter 1 of Revelation, we said this is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Why did God send Jesus in the first place? To establish religion so that we could build buildings in his name, so that there can be church splits, so that there can be division in the body of Christ. No, all so that he can save us. God would rather have heaven without us, would rather die than have heaven without us. And here we see God's heart again at this very late stage of everything. People are being saved. This is God's heart, family. This is God's heart. His heart is for people to be saved, even in the midst of these judgments. Now, what's terrible to come to terms with and to understand is the following. There is more evidence than anything else known to man for the legitimacy and authenticity of the Bible. There is more secular documented proof, ancient manuscripts, to support what's written in what we call the canon of our scriptures. It means what they chose to include in the Bible. You may have heard of the book of Enoch and the book of Maccabees and stuff like that. The reason why things like that were not included in the scriptures, because there were inconsistencies in there. in terms of the doctrines and the values and the heart of what's written in the rest of the scriptures. Therefore, the people of the day deemed that this couldn't have been Holy Spirit inspired because it's not consistent with what we see in the scriptures. That is why those books were not included in the canon of scriptures. That is why those things were there. And we see that throughout history, through all of scripture, what we have is this God who wants people saved. That's the heart that God is revealing. And what we see today is this. I said the sad thing and the challenging thing is this. There is more. You ask historians, who was the emperor in the time of Jesus? And they'll tell you Tiberius. There's 10 sources of secular means outside of scripture, writings to substantiate the existence of an emperor known as Tiberius. 10 sources. How many sources to substantiate the existence of a man who was known as Jesus? 40. 40. So the people with the doctorates of today, the PhDs in whatever, the professors at the highest levels of education in the world, the greatest university, except that a man called Tiberius existed based on 10 sources. But 40 sources referring to the person called Jesus. So some people won't even believe the historical existence of somebody called Jesus, let alone his claims to deity. Can you see the crookedness of it all? So what I'm trying to say with that is the following. Folks, the evidence that we have at our disposal today, what man has learned over millennia is the following. It is no longer a question of, is there enough reason to believe the claims of the Bible? But rather a case of finding excuses not to believe. It's a case of finding excuses not to believe. Not, I need more reasons, I need more evidence. And I want to tell you, you know what Christianity is, folks? Christianity is not blind faith. Not God, not Jesus, not the Holy Spirit ever expects anybody to have blind faith. It says, no, search, research, check out, investigate, discover, and you will see. Search for me with all your heart, and you will find me. You will find the evidences. There's more and more evidences of God. Our science is substantiating scripture. Scripture is substantiating science more and more and more as we get closer to the second coming of Jesus. So it's no longer a case of, I need more evidence to believe. It's a case of, I'm keeping and holding to excuses to not to believe. Because if they have to believe their claims of the Bible, then it means they'll be morally accountable. And that is what the world does not want. We've said that before, so I'm moving on. That's God's heart in this. These people get saved in this time. And they say this, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. What a proclamation. Look at the truth there. They say, I'm going to paraphrase it. We realize now that only God, only Jesus can save us. Our wealth, our claims, our power, our cleverness, it can't save us in these times, folks. Look at what's happening. We can't be saved. Only God, only Jesus can save us. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. These martyrs, they realize this during the tribulation. During the tribulation. Our encouragement and the cry of God's heart and our appeal this morning is that we get to realize this before this stage, before it is too late, before it is too late. You see, we can either choose to voluntarily get to know God as a loving Father before we're forced to know Him as a righteous judge. You choose, you know? So, And the thing about being hungry and thirsty for the things of God. Okay, you know I love you, right? You got to know that by now. But may we slap ourselves on the hands this morning? Are you ready for a little tachtachin? and left her. I nearly said you, but then I'm preaching at you. And I go, we. We have exactly the amount of God in our lives that we want. Ouch. In other words, if you think, God, where are you? Where's your breakthrough? Where's your answer? Where's your power? Where's the life of God? Where's the next question should be, Lord, where's my hunger? Where's my thirsting? Where's the priority of my time, my effort, my energy, my resources pouring into knowing this God more? Where's that? We, you and I, we have exactly the amount of God in our lives that you and I want. And it's same with these folks. They got to the point where they didn't want the things of God. Now they're in this difficult time and they're martyred for their faith. If you don't know what a martyr is, you get killed. You get killed for your stance of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they say, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to our God. This is a sevenfold praise of God. So don't wait to go through the tribulation to proclaim this about God. I know a family member that said to me, no, he wants to be around at the tribulation. He wants to experience that stuff. And in a way, you know, I can be judgmental and say, you doff. But in a way, I can understand it. You know why? Because ons lees net daarvan, sonder dat ons die volle openbaring kry daarvan. You're going to see now in chapter 8 what begins to happen. We're going to do chapter 8 this morning. We are. Is that okay? Gaan 'n bietjie langer preek. Is dit reg by julle? Julle gaan nie iets oorkom nie. Ek beloof. Okay? So, dis nie baie wat ek te lang preek, nê? Come on, julle. Ooh, ek's nou 'n bietjie bekommerd want daar's meer van julle wat stil bly as wat amen sê. So, let's just mosie stay focused. So, this is a sevenfold praise of God. Don't go through the tribulation to proclaim this about God. Choose to know Him as a loving Father by choice, then being forced to know Him as a righteous judge. And then it says the Lamb. It says the Lamb. And it says, yeah, for the Lamb who's in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them. You know, folks, I love that we are South African. Ons is daarom 'n unieke volk. There's like nobody likes South Africans, boy. Just speak to the employers overseas that employ South Africans. If I say to you, lamb, you think of Braaivleis, man. Come on. Speak to me, church. You think of Braaivleis. You think of minstrels. You think there's... Julle weet ek het nie vleis nie, but I tell you, there's something about lamb chops, jikkel, stikkel. It's delicious. Eh? It's nah. Lamb. That's how we think of lamb. Now, let's get serious now. Take your mind off lamb, please. Actually, I can't tell you that because, you know, we do not have the ability to process the negative. Our minds can't process the negative. I'll prove it to you right now. If I say to you, do not think of lamb. What are you thinking of right now? Exactly. That is why when you try and stop sin, don't say, I must stop sin, I must not, because no, just focus on Jesus. He's the way. He's the way. And that's how you'll experience victory. But so when we say lamb, that's what we think of, okay? But for a Hebrew, for a Jew, a lamb means something completely different. They were costly. They were precious livestock. They provided so much for them, the clothes, the wool and the food and the wealth, etc., all of that. Every time they sinned, they knew it's going to cost me a lamb. It's going to cost me a lamb. It's going to cost me a lamb. I'm going to have to slaughter one of my lamb, one of my sheep. I'm going to have to pay the price. And not just enige lamb, not just a gebroken, gekrippelde lamb that can't mare properly and can't follow properly and has messed up wool or no wool or sores and wounds. No, a spotless lamb had to go through it meticulously. So every time they sin, they realize it's going to cost. They understand the significance of a lamb, people. For us, it's an awesome braai, lamb on a spit. Dion's laughing, net te lekker. But for a Hebrew, for a Jew, it means this. That's why they can understand. Salvation belongs to this Lamb. That's why the Bible describes the spotless Lamb of God. The most costly, the best of the best of the best, lay down his life. Revelation chapter 8. It's taken me half an hour to get this far. By God's grace, it's not going to take half an hour to do this chapter. Revelation 8, 1 to 13. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. So what that means, gentlemen, is that at this stage of Revelation, there were no women in heaven yet. Because there was silence. There were no women in heaven yet. There was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Can you imagine, gents? This has been recorded, so please don't say, "Die, pastor, he preaches heresy." Folks, the truth of the matter is, we don't know why there was silence in heaven. The Bible doesn't teach us. But I know it's significant. I know it's significant. I'm sure it was, I don't know. We can speculate, but all it is speculation. So that doesn't get us anywhere. If it's not in the scripture, it's speculation. And verse 2, "And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. And then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth." Ooh, we're going to talk about that. "And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake." And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. And I put that in twice because it's a typo. So to the care group leaders that get the notes, forgive it there. "So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded. Hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown down to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. And then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of heaven were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts.'" Now, woe, woe, woe is language that we hardly use today. It means, ish, to the next level. That's what it means. Ish, to the next level. Everybody in South Africa knows what ish means. Sorry, ne? Ish. Huh? Yes. "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth." Help me, asseblief. "Woe to the inhabitants of the because of the remaining blasts of the trumpets of the three angels who are about to sound." Okay, let's unpack this quickly, church. We've already said we do not know why there was silence, but there was for half an hour. Seven trumpets. Now, this is part of three sets of seven judgments in the scripture. There's the seven seals. Remember when Jesus, the only one who was found worthy to open the scroll, opened the seals, and at each opening of each seal, there was a judgment that was poured out. That's the first set of seven. The next set of seven is these seven trumpets, which reveals more judgments. And then there's seven bowls, or seven vials, which we're going to get to in later chapters, with more judgments being poured out. The significance of seven in the scripture speaks about completion. It's a completion. So this is what's busy happening over now. Here, these are the seven trumpets. And then it says, "much incense." So those of you that have been listening to the sermon series on Revelation, in Revelation, what is the incense in the throne room of God? Please give me the answer. Yes. Yes. It's the prayers of the saints. So imagine of all the things you can choose to fragrance your home with, God chooses the prayers of his people as the incense in his throne room to create the atmosphere, the smell in God's nostrils, the prayers of his people. It says, much incense, the prayers of all the saints. Now, I want you to remember the prayers of the saints in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 10. Remember the prayers of the saints in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 10. What did they cry out in this prayer? What did they say in this prayer? And this is what they cried out, church. They cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? That was their prayer. Mense, kan julle vandag, en wat is die datum vandag? 7 April 2024. Kan julle julle vereenselwig identifiseer, assosieer julle self met hierdie gebede? How long, O Lord, still must we put up with? How long, O Lord, must we see this pain and suffering? Broken mankind, the mess that's going on in the world, the decline of moral standards, the fulfillment of Isaiah 5 verse 20, which says that which is good will be called bad, that which is bad will be called good, that which is bitter will be called sweet, that which is sweet will be called bitter. We're seeing that which is right is being called wrong, that which is wrong is being called right. People are being arrested for making a stand for Jesus. People are losing their jobs because they refuse to call people by these gender-neutral pronouns. They being locked up. They being called the enemy. That's the prayer. That's the cry. Can you relate to this prayer? How long? How long, God? You're just and you're true. I know you're just and you're true. But God, I'm not seeing this prayer answered. Can you see the desperation, people? And yeah, we see God start to answer this prayer. And what a spectacular way in which God answers this prayer. God starts to answer these prayers. My brother, my sister, I don't know where you are in your walk of life, but I'm at that place where I'm desperate. Ek het gisterand 'n gesprek gehad met mense tydens ons samesyn. I'm not a negative person. I'm a more glass half full kind of guy than a glass empty kind of guy. But I want Jesus to come. I want this prayer answered. Lord, how long? How long must we still put up with how long must we put up with stuff? How long, Lord? How long, Lord? How much longer must we put up where it seems that unrighteousness is having victory over righteousness? Doesn't it seem like that in the world? You know why? And look, there's much going on. The Church of Christ is growing. There is the gospel being proclaimed. People are coming to know the Lord. But that kind of stuff does not make CNN. That kind of stuff does not make Fox News, ABC and NBC and all these major left-wing extreme news networks. It doesn't make those news networks. That's why we're not seeing it. So it seems like this is where we are, but this is the cry. That's the prayer. So these bowls of incense are lifted up to the Lord. This is what's happening. Much incense. That's the desperate prayer. And then it says, then now we see how God starts to answer this prayer. And I'm going to get practical with this morning. It says, then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, like things are heating up now, and he threw it to the earth. Wow! He threw it. It wasn't just like, there, cry for yellow. He threw it to the earth. There's purpose. There's volition. There's intent. There's meaning. There's heart behind this. God is saying, now's the time. Now's the time. You that remained faithful to the end, that you kept on praising God when you had every reason to turn your back and to criticize, when you had every reason to doubt and be in despondency and fear, you held true to your faith. You stayed committed. You stayed loyal. You stayed faithful. You stayed true. You stayed dedicated. You stood your ground. Now these prayers are being answered. You can imagine that angel taking this incense. More incense adds more fire. And he takes it and he throws it to earth. can imagine what John saw. He throws it to the earth. Okay? And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. And there I've gone and put this in again. Why am I putting this again twice? Well, maybe because I'm putting the emphasis on it, yeah. So again, to the care group leaders, I apologize for the typos. God answers the prayers of Revelation chapter 6 and verse 10. And how does God answer these prayers? We see these prayers being answered from verse 7. Hail and fire followed. What's worse, there was a serious hailstorm here yesterday. Didamas? Now imagine hailstones the size of oranges. But worse than that, it's like fire. Fire falling with that. Hailstones and fire mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. This is how God starts to answer prayers. A third of the trees were burned up, and all the grass was burnt up. No grass left. No grass was left. All burned up. And then the second angel sounded. Something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. You can imagine John trying to describe this. It's something like a great mountain. There's nothing else to describe it. Was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea becomes blood. I don't know if you have ever been on crime scenes that have not been cleaned up in a while. What happens to the blood? It starts to stink. It attracts flies, who then lay eggs and maggots, etc. A third of the sea. Imagine two of my favorite holiday places. I love the North Coast, Dolphin Coast, Mshlonga and Belito. There's lekker there, Belito, Joe. Imagine you crashing waves and then you go and it's just blood. A third of the sea. Blood. And you think, this is how God answers prayers? This is how God is answering the prayer of Revelation chapter 6 and verse 10. A third of the living creatures of the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. In 2016, at any given time, there were approximately 50,000 ships on the sea. So yeah, we're looking at least 17,000 ships destroyed. Just like that. As this thing that's like a mountain hits the sea. Then the third angel sounded, a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. So, guess what water is left to drink? Nada. Zilch. Zero. Nothing. Nothing. This is what's busy happening. Do you really want to be around at this time? How God starts to answer prayers like this. And then the name of the star is Wormwood. The waters become bitter and people die from it. Then a third of the sun was struck. You know what would happen if we suddenly had only two-thirds of the sun's power coming to the earth? You would freeze your little tush off. You'd freeze. That's what's going to be happening here. So what is going to be happening? This fire, this hail, this blood, this freezing, mountains. Picture the scene, ladies and gentlemen. Brothers and sisters, this is what we are dealing with. How God has to deal. And you think, Lord, but why this? Why the severity? Yeah? But look at the severity of the consequences of sin on planet Earth and the creation of God's hands. Look at the curse of sin. It has to be dealt with like this. There is no other way. So there's no water left to drink. Now the third of the sun, everything's just freezing. All right? And a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. I looked and I heard a great angel saying this. The angel says this. So we see Wormwood and the angel says this. So this, while this is going on, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. So, this is like the modern day promotion of But wait, there's more. If you phone now, you will also receive. That's like the angel saying, but wait, there's more to come. What can you imagine? Still more destruction? I close with that thought. This is this God, this faithful God, who gets this angel to start answering his prayers. Beloved, listen. Listen with your heart and listen with your spirit this morning. This God answers prayers. Your prayers are busy filling up incense bowls in the throne room of God that are going to be part of the outpouring of his judgment on those who persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. That's the role that your prayers play. This prayer, this appeal is encouragement to stay faithful to the end. In the end, we win. In the end, God has the final say. He's not forgotten us. He's not forsaken us. There is no such thing as this God-forsaken country of ours. Remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. If there was one faithful person, God said, he'd bring deliverance. This morning, I'm looking at dozens of faithful men, women, and children of God that can usher in his kingdom come and his will be done. Let's pray together. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we pray that you continue to use your word to stir our hearts, to stir our lives. As we see the severity of what is to come and understand, Lord, this is important. This is important. It's not just stuff that Hollywood can use to make movies. It's stuff that can get the attention of people that are not living for Jesus and give them time and chance to repent. It's for them and for us that we pray this morning, that it changes the way we think, changes the way we live, and changes the way we witness. I pray, Lord God, that we would be your church. We would continue to pray that our prayers would fill the incense bowls in your throne room, that become part of the judgments you pour out on those who refuse to turn. As you have been gracious and patient with us and given us a chance to repent of our ways, so too we pray for our unsaved family and our unsaved friends in this time, that they would come to faith in Jesus Christ before Satan steals their lives. And we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Folks, last week we announced that every week from now till election time, we're going to pray over this nation, over God's people, over the hearts of the people. So this morning it's Yaku's turn, and then he's going to give anybody else an opportunity that would like to pray for the country as well, to make use of this time to pray for the nation. So without further ado, I'm going to ask Yaku to close in prayer for us with a prayer for the upcoming elections. Thank you. Bless you guys.
Morele. Voordat ek bid, wil ek net gou 'n versie lees. Is 2 Kronieke 7 vers 14. As dit gebeur en my volk verneder hulle self en hulle soek na my wil, en as hulle ophou met hulle verkeerde optrede, sal ek hulle vergewe. Dan sal ek hulle land gesond maak. Ek sal luister na elke gebed wat hier vandaan gebid word. Here Jesus, ons dra Suid-Afrika vanoggend op na U. Here, elke mens. Here, ek bid vir die samekoms van elke ras in Suid-Afrika. Here Jesus, ek bid vir vrede tydens die verkiesing. Here, ek bid vir elke mens wat dink hy kan Suid-Afrika verander. Here Jesus, ons bid dat U hand oor Suid-Afrika sal hou. In Jesus' naam. Amen. Enig iemand anders?
Jesus Christus, asseblief, vandag vraag ek U vir 'n groot, groot iets. Daar is so baie verlore kinders in Suid-Afrika. Ek is 'n moeder van 'n dogter, Natasha Grobler, wat verlore is vir 3 maande. En ek bid dat U asseblief my kind huis toe sal stuur in Jesus Christus se naam. En alle toordokters en dwelmslawe se hande sal vasbind. Dankie, amen.
Almagtige God, hemelse Vader, Here, baie dankie dat ons kan kom en voor U kan staan as Vader. Here, want wanneer ons kyk, Here, na ons lewens, dan weet ons, Here, dat hierdie Gees, dat ons as kinders van U, Here, voor U kan kom staan en vra, Here, red hierdie land. Here, as mens kyk na gebed, en ons bid nie, dan beteken dit ons vertrou nie, Here. So daarom kom ons met die grootste vrymoedigheid, o God, na U as Vader en vra vir 'n oplossing in hierdie land, vir uitkoms in hierdie land, Here, vir oorwinning van geregtigheid oor ongeregtigheid, Here. En ons dankie daarvoor, Vader. Here Jesus, baie dankie dat ons in U naam tot God die Vader kan nader. En ons loof en prys U, Here, vir U hand oor Suid-Afrika. Amen.
May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you. May God lift up His countenance upon you, be gracious to you. May God give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the sound guy.